CliffCentral.com.
All right, so let's talk to Reino De Beer. I actually wanted to have Reino on my TV show, and we had such huge technical difficulties just getting to hear each other that I said to him eventually, listen, dude, let's just talk on the radio show, because you've got important work that you guys are doing. The Liberty Fighters Network is the organization to which Reino belongs and is president. And you are the guy behind the court victory, which had the entire country talking. It took the state on over COVID-19 regulations, and the judge found them unconstitutional and actually handed victory to the Liberty Fighters Network. So first of all, Reino, welcome. And where are we in terms of the law at the moment?
Thank you very much, Gareth. Sure. Where we are currently is that we are now stuck in the Supreme Court of Appeal.
Mm-hmm.
With this whole matter. Luckily, we have utilized a very special weapon. It's called the Section 18.3 application, which basically means that we have lodged a special application in the High Court, again, before the same judge who granted the original order,
mm-hmm.
to request permission that the order that was made on the 2nd of June must come into operation immediately pending the appeal. So we just simply waiting for the for Justice
Davis. Have you guys got a date for the Supreme Court of Appeal?
We're waiting for Justice
because
Davis.
Because surely these things are urgent. So, you know, we're under lockdown at the moment. The whole purpose of your application was to get urgency. And surely the SCA need to prioritize this and put it on the roll immediately.
Oh, definitely. But sadly, we are waiting for Justice Davis to provide us with a court date for this new application that mm-hmm. we have in front of him. But unfortunately, the Supreme Court of Appeal rules doesn't make provision for urgency. The state literally has got 3 months to prepare the documentation. Well, so this application that we've got is the only chance that we have got now to get rid of this lockdown. And so we're putting all our effort.
Reino, I think that you've got a lot of sympathy from people in South Africa, because we all have been sitting under level 3 for God knows how long now. It's almost 3 months. And there seems to be no end in sight. Government are really not in a hurry to move us on to level 2. Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma is fighting with you guys about this. She's obviously appealed, and that's why it's gone to the SCA. But are there grounds? I mean, she says that you have no right to challenge the authority of the NCCC under the National Disaster Act or whatever it is. Does she have grounds to argue with a judge's decision that this is unconstitutional?
Well, surely she believes that she has got that, right? But everything is going against the rationality of these regulations.
Mm.
It's totally, it does not make sense. What the judge have identified and on the hearing on the that was way back in the 28th of May, the judge asked a couple of questions to the advocate for Dlamini Zuma, and he couldn't answer any one of those. One of those questions were, for example, that you may not go and visit your grandfather on his deathbed, but when he dies, 50 people may go to his funeral.
Right.
So he couldn't answer anything. Then he had the other question to say that you may take your children to a park, but you may not die there. So what's the rationality? Now we've even got the situation whereby a minibus taxi can be fully occupied,
mm-hmm.
With 100% capacity, going on a trip for 200 kilometers to a funeral, but at the funeral there may only be 50 people with social distancing between them.
Look, I mean, I think all of these things make no sense at all. And in fact, on the show that you were meant to be on, I think Dalim Pofu said very unequivocally that he thinks that they're rubbish. He's obviously the former chairperson of the EFF, and they've actually been people who've been at the forefront of trying to fight for lockdown to continue longer. He himself said these things are capricious and absurd. And there are many people in South Africa who look at a number of these regulations and go, look, if you're really trying to protect us, then explain this, explain that. And they don't have an explanation. Having said that, I want to be devil's advocate for a second. We are trying to keep people safe. We're trying to keep people healthy. Everybody now knows someone who has COVID or someone who has been very ill. And government can't do nothing, Reyno. So surely you're a little sympathetic to the fact that perhaps the NCCC does have some authority to make regulations that change the lives of South Africans, hopefully in a positive way, that we can spread less of this disease. I mean, you're not saying that the government has no authority and that government shouldn't be doing what governments all over the world have tried to do by protecting people. You're just saying some of these laws make no sense. We have to get rid of the regulations which are making people's lives untenable.
That's 100% correct. What we have identified in court while was arguing is that we are sitting here with a suspected disease that were only discovered or named on the 11th of February. So we've argued and said that there's a possibility that this disease could have been with us for many years already. So we are not busy with a rate of infection, but actually a rate of detection, which are two different phrases. I've seen this nice video on YouTube now the other day where this guy was wearing or carrying a bucket full of marbles or something, and he dropped it, and he was trying to get everything together. And that is actually what we are sitting with now. This coronavirus has gone out of control at this stage. Yeah. Everyone will have coronavirus or this dreadful, hopefully not the disease, but the virus itself at some point, or already had it and they don't even know.
Yes.
So we are sitting with international statistics that there's a 99.8% on this.
Right.
And are trying to, and what we've said in court, the Dayan argument is that we are sitting with 2018 statistics, true factual statistics. 301,000 people got TB. 63,000 people died that same year because of TB. Now, how do you justify comparing TB with something like COVID-19 at this stage? It does not make sense. And
you don't have to convince all of us. I think we're mostly on your side on this, because we all crave our liberties being returned to us. But we are aware, and again, I'm just bringing in the alternative argument here, because we can't seem to be hell for leather about the one side without taking due consideration for the fact that people are concerned for their health. Pumi, you want to ask something?
Yeah, I think that the various regulations have been ventilated. And for me, I think if we were to be solutions based, what does a win look like for you? What do you want to see in our society, in our community, for you to feel satisfied that on the one hand, the government has taken enough and due precaution, and on the other hand, that people have what you call liberty?
Well, what we believe is that we should treat this disease. Let me just go back. The Pakistani Supreme Court ruled during May that they do acknowledge that there is a disease, but that disease should not take preference above any others that they are in Pakistan. HIV, tuberculosis, etc., etc. And that is why the Pakistani Supreme Court stopped their lockdown then. And that is why we should also have the same approach to say that we cannot, we've submitted a well-known report by Panda, where it indicates that for each one life that the government is trying to preserve at this stage, there are actually 30 lives that are taken by this lockdown itself.
Mm.
And those are factual, scientific calculations that were made. So I don't think that the means justify the ends at this stage. And the judge also said that specifically.
You know, in his judgment. I'm quite amused by the fact that it has to be NGOs like you guys that are brave enough to take the government on here. We don't see any bravery from the corporations. Suddenly, we're starting to see a little bit of action from tobacco and from liquor, which I commend them for, because this has ruined their businesses. I don't see very much from the banks, but then the banks are mostly craven, and they will do whatever they can to preserve their relationships with government. I don't see a lot of individuals in society who are powerful enough to take court action like you guys have. And as much as there may be people who disagree with you, I think part of living in a free society is that organizations like yours need to be able to hold the government responsible. Most of us are just taking footstoots, whatever the government give us as rules, and adapting our lives accordingly, even if it's to our detriment. People are losing jobs, people can't send their kids to school, people can't make provisions for their own parents or their own grandparents, you can't go to a funeral. If you're more than 50 people, some people have died alone in hospital. These have been very, very difficult times for a lot of people. And I just have to say, Reyno, as much as you get a lot of heat from people who seem to be towing the government line on this, it is to me a matter of some pride that we have NGOs in this country like you guys. I've never heard of you before, this court case. And the fact that you've gone out there and you've taken on the might of government is commendable. Am I wrong? I mean, this is great. Pumi, we live in a free country. I think it's terrific.
I do, however, want to come back and say, Reno, I don't believe you fully answered my question. So you told me about what happened in Pakistan. Yeah. My question is, what would you like to see here?
Yeah, what's the best case scenario for you?
What is it for you that you want to see happen here? So I understand what happened in Pakistan.
Yeah, okay. No, but the same principle applies in South Africa as well. We've gotten used to very serious diseases like HIV/AIDS. People who have got the HIV/AIDS, they already know that they need to protect themselves from getting other diseases.
Mm.
So we should be responsible citizens that the moment when you feel sick, isolate yourself, go back home, stay in bed for a couple of days before you go out again. We've actually did that before. It's not that we haven't been trained of trying to prevent other diseases from being spread. I think the government has treated us like children, with especially.
I just want to ask a question. We were speaking earlier about consent, and the HIV incident, right, that we speak about also has a high level of consent. So in order for me to get infected with HIV, there's a consensual transaction that needs to happen between myself and the next person, because it involves an incredibly intimate experience. However, with this situation, there is no consensual exposure for it. We have seen incidences right now, even with the lockdown, even with all of the regulations in place, where an individual who has been tested, who is waiting for their results, and which then come back positive, has gone on to be in a classroom with students, has gone on to be in the workplace with, even though they knew at that time, they have not given any of the people that they have exposed the opportunity to consent. That's problematic. So HIV, you have to consent. I have to have sex with you before you would infect me.
Yeah,
but just being in the same space with me
doesn't
allow me the opportunity to consent.
Mm.
Yes, but let's go back to...
So let's
we know by
HIV.
Now. We know by now that COVID-19 has got similar symptoms and effects like the normal flu.
Yeah.
We've been living with flu for all our lives. We always know that you've got a risk, especially during winter time, to be infected with the influenza. So we came to accept that. And what has happened with, for example, swine flu, that was a crisis earlier this past decade. It has become part of our lives now. And similarly, the COVID-19 will become part of our lives eventually. We will get treatment for that, proper treatment. We will most probably get a vaccine if everything works out.
I just want to jump in here because I also think that we must remember what the purpose of lockdown was, what we agreed to in our social compact that the president keeps going on about. We agreed that we would all go into lockdown in order to help make sure that the health service was ready to accommodate us. And we did not agree that we would go into an interminable lockdown so that we could try and prevent person-to-person transmission. That was never the goal. We know that this thing is extremely virulent. And as Pumi says, it doesn't require consent. It just spreads in the air some of the time. So you can choose to stay at home and lock down and sacrifice everything in your life if you do prioritize your health. But also, you should have the right to decide that you want to go out and open your business. And it's not government. Government's not going to protect you from a disease. They've never managed to do that in the history of humanity. So I think it's important here that we have these challenges brought. And again, I'm going to reiterate, I think that it's great that you had the courage to take on the minister and the NCCC. They obviously do not like that at all. And while I am sympathetic to them trying to do what governments all over the world have tried to do, governments cannot prevent a disease from spreading. All we can do is do what we've already tried to do by ridding the healthcare system, by making sure that there are facilities available for those who are very ill, and then take our chances with this disease, because it's not going away. And we don't have a vaccine. And even if we do develop a vaccine, it's going to be a year away.
100% correct. And very importantly, that we have also mentioned in our court case is that the government did have the option of going for the International Health Regulations Act of 1974. And if we have opted to include the World Health Organization, strangely enough, those regulations gave South Africa time, state parties, time until 2010 to come up with putting in place everything that they need for any disease to be handled. So it means that our government has physically defied international law by not having made ourselves ready by 2010 already for a disease that could have been expected. So now at 199, they woke up on the 15th of March, and suddenly they wanted to get everything in place. But now it's 4 months into lockdown already.
Yeah.
People are busy dying of starvation. Mm. People can't properly operate. Even if businesses are open, they don't have clients because they are too scared to come out. And not scared as such of the disease. They are scared of being arrested for maybe contravening one of these regulations. That is the problem we are sitting with. People have a more fear at this stage of being arrested than actually having a fear of contracting any disease at this stage.
I'm not sure if you can make a blanket statement like that. Who are these people that are more afraid of being arrested? But I've just been skimming through the Judge Davis's judgment, and because we're having the conversation. Rainer, if you could just explain to me, because I see that it's not the entire lockdown that Judge Davis has ruled against, but aspects of it. Can you talk me through which aspects it is that Judge Davis actually had a problem with?
Okay. The aspects were, he had a blanket. On the 2nd of June, he basically had a blanket invalidity of these lockdown regulations to say that it does not make any sense. Mm-hmm. So he said that government has got 14 business days to rectify everything, to bring it in line with the constitution, and then come back to court and report back to court on what they have done. So they have opted 5 days in that period to lodge an appeal. But regulations that he excluded were actually regulations that were obvious human rights abuses, like, for instance, the right to have business, the right to movement, the right of having gatherings and protests, the right to even the criminalization of these regulations. He also found to be unconstitutional that people are criminally prosecuted for contravening these lockdown regulations, that he was obviously of the view that that was an obvious unconstitutionality. So those were the things that he excluded, the obvious ones. The ones that basically included is the way the contact, COVID-19 contact management is handled, and the basics around that. Right. Those were actually the ones that's included in the appeal. But all the others, how I explain it is that if you open the Bill of Rights in the Constitution and you close your eyes and you pinpoint with a finger somewhere in the Bill of Rights, those rights that you are pinpointing to, those are actually the ones that were excluded from the appeal.
When does this new application go to Judge Davis?
We are waiting for his directives.
Okay.
We've sent a letter to the state attorney's office last night, mm-hmm. Giving them time until Wednesday to file their answering affidavit. Otherwise, on Thursday, we will definitely approach the office of the judge to request that the matter proceed in default. Government already had now today's 13 days to have filed the answering affidavit, and they have not done so. So we are saying that they are actually wasting time again.
Well, all I can say is, again, civil society have to have a mouthpiece. You guys have stepped up to the plate, which I commend you for. I hope that we have some kind of clarity, because we cannot stay in limbo forever. And I think that governments are slowly starting to lose more and more public support as this lockdown just interminably rolls on, with no seeming exit strategy from their side. So very good to have you on the show this morning. And Reyna, we'll talk again soon, I'm sure. In the meantime, look after yourself.
Thank you very much. Okay. Have a nice day.
There we go. There's Reyna de Beer from the Liberty Fighters Network. CliffCentral.com.